The share market has closed this financial year 17% higher. Unemployment remains stubbornly low, and the economy is growing just below trend, despite a cooling of the mining boom. Indeed, at June 30th, Australia managed to notch up its 22nd year of uninterrupted economic growth. That's an incredible record. These should be our glory days. Instead, Australians remain less optimistic about the economy's prospects than even some Europeans do about theirs. How can that possibly be? That's a question that's puzzled Jim Chalmers, a Labor insider who was ex-Treasurer Wayne Swan's chief of staff for a long time until just a few months ago. He's just published a book called, appropriately, Glory Days, that's with a Z, or How a World-Beating Nation Got So Down on Itself. Jim Chalmers, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran. Good to join you.
So the thesis of your book, Jim, why are we so down on the economy and who do you blame?
Well, overwhelmingly, the book is a proud story of how Australia avoided recession, and it focuses on the key roles played by Kevin Rudd and Wayne Swan and Julia Gillard and some of the key decisions that they made. But it does try to explain how the poisonous politics and commentary of the last few years have damaged confidence in Australia despite that success of our economy. And it draws parallels, I think, with what the new Prime Minister was saying last week about the negativity in the Australian economic and political conversation. So it then tries to suggest a few ways forward, especially how we restore sort of a more balanced and long-term view of what the country needs to succeed into the future.
And the end part of your book talks about the reasons for it, as you say, the poisonous politics of the past 3 years, not just the poisonous politics, but the commentary as well. Do you think Julia Gillard and Wayne Swan would still be in their jobs if the electorate had been more confident, more upbeat about the state of the economy?
The book doesn't really get into that sort of specific leadership or election analysis, but what it does say is that if Australia doesn't have a more balanced and a fairer and long-term view and a long-term conversation of what we need to do in the economy and elsewhere in politics, then we are a chance of squandering these tremendous advantages that we've built up by succeeding during a global recession where other countries couldn't.
And put that in perspective for us. Just remind us of how we succeeded when other countries didn't. Because reading the start of your book, it begins at that. And you forget how bad it was during the GFC.
Absolutely. I've lost count of the amount of times, Fran, as I've discussed this book with people the last week or so, that they've made it sound like that there was not a substantial threat posed to Australia by the global recession. And I remember some of those 2 a.m. meetings and all the rest of it during the worst of the global recession, when Lehman Brothers fell over in the United States, when all sorts of things happened, where we really were facing economic Armageddon. And one of the reasons I really wanted to write this book is because I wanted to mark a place for history for some of the extraordinary things that were happening around the world, but more importantly, some of the extraordinary things that Australia did, not just government, but business who held on to workers, all kinds of people around the community, the extraordinary things that Australia achieved when other countries couldn't.
Now, the Prime Minister, as you mentioned, just a week or so ago, really did lash out at economists and some of the media for what she called their unreasonable pessimism about the economy. You acknowledge in this book you're not an unbiased observer. You're a former chief of staff to Wayne Swan. You're now standing for Labor pre-selection, I understand, in the seat of Rankin, which will be vacated by Craig Emerson. So you're clearly not unbiased. But why shouldn't Labor, under Julia Gillard and Wayne Swan, at least share some of the blame for the lack of confidence or the pessimism in the community about the economy? Because isn't part of the job of government to communicate with the electorate, to bring them along with them?
Yeah, it is. And my book touches on some of those ideas. And it says that at multiple times in the book, it says, you know, no government's perfect in terms of the decisions it takes or the way it communicates those decisions. It would be dishonest to pretend that everything has been perfect the last 6 years. But what I do try and say, Fran, is that there is this sort of obsession with communication over substance. And when you look at the substance of what was achieved, not just under Julia Gillard and Wayne Swan, but Kevin Rudd the first time round, there are some remarkable outcomes and some remarkable achievements. And it's too easy to get in this sort of insider Canberra talk about, you know, spin and polls and personalities and forget that there are some remarkable things that have gone on. And what the book tries to do is say, yes, here are the times where we could have explained better. Yes, here are the times where we might have got things a tiny bit wrong. But overwhelmingly, the decisions that were taken in the last 6 years are something to be very proud of.
It's 19 to 9 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Jim Chalmers. Jim was a former Chief of Staff to the former Treasurer, Wayne Swan, and he's also currently standing for pre-selection for the seat of Rankin in Queensland. Jim, in your book, you blame what you call the hyper-partisans for our lack of confidence in the economy, lack of belief in the government. Who are these hyper-partisans?
I think there's a tiny minority in the community, a really, really tiny minority, who, for various reasons, hyper-partisan reasons is what I call them, they benefit from a real misalignment of incentives in our politics. So our politics are geared really towards very short-term hits, poll results, personalities, dodgy modelling that you can pay for. And so what I try and say is there's a little minority in the media, a little minority in the business community, though the overwhelming majority of both groups are good, patriotic people. But this little minority dominates the airwaves and dominates the national discussion, so that busy people trying to get on with their lives, they have this the information they hear about what's going on in Canberra and what's going on around the world is dominated by this tiny minority. And I think if you broaden out the media conversation, if you broaden out the business conversation, if more people can hear a more balanced and rational and long-term view of what the country's doing and what it needs to do to succeed into the future, we'd be better off.
But aren't there more people contributing to the debate now? I mean, isn't the fact that the internet allows more voices in and social media allows more discussion and people are listening to more voices in one way? At the same time, you blame those very institutions for creating some of the narrow casting of the message that is creating this hyper-partisanship.
Yeah, and the book deals with that as well, Fran. And what it tries to say is that there are two things going on. On one hand, there's a fragmenting of voices in terms of social media, but they're still overwhelmingly still dominated by some fairly extreme voices. I think the best example I can think of is some of the stuff that Larry Pickering was putting around social media about the former Prime Minister, Julia Gillard. So the social media itself can be dominated by some quite extreme voices. But as more and more people vacate some of the mainstream media outlets, what we're seeing is a real consolidation and a real campaigning, quite right-wing approach taken by some of the old media as well.
Do you think that will change? There's been a change of leadership at the top of Labor. We have a new Prime Minister. Your former boss, Wayne Swan, is not the Treasurer anymore, and you clearly feel he's been hard done by. He was, after all, voted by the world as the world's best finance minister. But do you think things will change with the government's not led by a woman? Perhaps could that be the difference? Or, you know, Kevin Rudd comes in with perhaps a better communication style? I don't know. What do you think?
I hope things change, but not necessarily just for those reasons. I hope that the change in leadership really is a bit of a reset in terms of the public conversation about how we deal with some of these important issues that matter for the future of the country. And I'd like to think that Kevin Rudd said last week, which was very, people who didn't hear what Rudd said last week about negative politics should dig it out, because it's exactly right to say that for too long, for some years now, always the emphasis is on the downside of things, the negative side of things, the personal side, the polling side, the short-term stuff. And as a country, if we can reset that and try and establish a bit more rationality and a bit more long-term thinking into our public conversation, we'd be better off.
And just finally, despite all this, you're putting your hand up to enter the cauldron of federal politics. I understand you are going to stand, or you are standing, for pre-selection in the seat of Rankin. It is contested. I think there's now three contestants for this seat. Do you welcome a local rank-and-file vote in Rankin? And if you lose that vote, do you accept that's it, even if, National Executive, for instance, preferred you?
I would absolutely prefer a rank-and-file ballot in Rankin. I think it's a great thing that a number of people have expressed a preference. I think it's always when you can give local rank-and-file members a greater say in the operation of the party and who represent them, that's a good thing. I'm the only candidate so far that's declared that was born here and raised here and lives here for some time. So I've had a lot of conversations with people around the place the last few days, and I'm really encouraged by their enthusiasm and their support.
Jim Chalmers, thanks very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran. Good to join you.
Jim Chalmers is Executive Director of the Chifley Research Centre. As I said, he's a former Chief of Staff to the former Treasurer, Wayne Swan, and his new book, Glory Days, How a World-Beating Nation Got So Down on Itself, really told from someone who was inside the bunker for all that process during the GFC and beyond. It's published by Melbourne University Press this week.